here this morning, I felt in my spirit that God is about to do something. I don't know if there's anybody that believes that. But you know, I always tell the people, when you agree with me, you say amen, because amen says that I agree. When I walked in the building this morning, I sensed that God was about to do something in this place. Amen. Praise God. Yeah, why don't you give God a clap of praise for what he's about to do? Yes, God, we praise you. Yes, God, we love you. We magnify you. We adore you. Somebody just lift him up and give him praise right now. Come on, lift him up. Let everything that you have on your inside, let everything that you have on your inside, give him praise. Lift him up. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the mighty God. He is worthy. He is worthy in this place. If you believe God for a breakthrough this morning, I need you to stand on your feet and give him praise. Stand on your feet and welcome the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is in this house. God is ready, 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 ready to pour out. And as you pour out your praise and your worship to him, God comes by his power and he blesses you. Oh, we worship you, Lord. I just want you to turn with me to the first book of Kings, chapter 18, verses 41 to 46, if you have your Bible. It's up there as well. So if you haven't got your Bibles, you can just look at the screen. And Elijah said to Ahab, "Go, eat and drink, for there is the sound of a heavy rain," or the abundance of rain. And so Ahab went off to eat and drink, but Elijah climbed to the top of Carmel. He bent down to the ground and he put his face between his knees. "Go and look towards the sea,"
he told his servant. And he went up and he looked. There is nothing there, he said. And seven times Elijah said, go back. The seventh time the servant reported, a cloud as small as a man's hand is rising from the sea. So Elijah said, go and tell Ahab, hitch up your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. Meanwhile, the sky grew black with clouds. The wind rose. A heavy rain came on, and Ahab rode off to Jezreel. The power of the Lord came upon Elijah. And tucking his cloak into his belt, he ran ahead of Ahab all the way to Jezreel. Amen. Thank God for his word. As I was seeking God for a word for us today, including myself, I heard the Spirit of the Lord telling me, I have referred to the scripture before, but I heard the Spirit of the Lord telling me to encourage the people of God with these words. And perhaps there are a number of people here today who need to hear this message. And I believe they are. There are a number of people here that the Lord has already begun to speak to, and God will confirm his word with you today. Have you ever found yourself? I just want to have a real conversation right about now. But have you ever found yourself? You love the Lord, you're serving him, but have you ever found yourself in a dry place? Let's be honest. I have. Even though I'm a pastor, there are times when you wonder to yourself whether actually even God exists or his Holy Spirit exists. There are times when you feel so dry. If there were any a fire close by, you would set a light. Have you ever felt broken and lost and empty? And actually you might say, well, Pastor Brian, things are going really well for me. Business is doing good. I'm climbing up the ladder. My family is doing well. Being promoted in work. But there is a deep, deep longing on the inside for something else. For something a little deeper. Because right about now, you could be sitting in church with the presence of God so close to you, and you are empty. And you are dry. That, saints, is the reality. What you are experiencing in your spiritual life is a drought. And it makes sense when the Bible says that blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. But here is a dichotomy. A lot of people will tell you that being in a spiritual drought is a negative thing. And as I'm preaching now, I'm talking about being in a drought. You're thinking, yeah, that's not the place that I want to be in. But I've got to tell you that being in a negative position in that spiritual drought And perhaps you're there this morning. For me, being in this drought means that I hunger and I thirst for God because I want to change my position. Amen? And it's when you're in that position that you can experience the power and the presence of God when you're in that position. That's when your miracle will happen. I can speak from experience because I've been in the place where I've had everything and then everything is taken. And I've had to be on my knees, on my face in prayer, hungering for God. And it's then that God says, yes, that's exactly where I want you. And he brings a breakthrough and he brings a miracle. I know there are people in here. And God says today that he's about to meet you on your knees, on your face in prayer. Elijah survived the dry season. When you're in a drought, God will always provide for you, only if you let him. Amen? Yeah, there's some people who agreed with me. If you're in a dry place, I want to tell you that God will provide for you. Just to give you a historical background of this. Chapter 16 of the first book of Kings, verses 29 to 34. Ahab became king of Israel. And the scripture says that he did evil in the sight of God. Actually, when you read the chapters before, it gives you a succession of kings of Israel, and all, if not many of them, were evil in the sight of God. And the Bible says, here comes Ahab, and he is more evil than all of them. He built an altar to the god Baal. I wouldn't call Baal a god at all. What I would call him is an image. And so Ahab built an image, an idol. Whatever you want to call it. He built this image, this idol, he built an altar for this so-called god with a small g. And then this so-called god was supposed to be responsible for rain. And here Elijah had declared that there will be no rain for 3 years, and yet this so-called God could not even cause it to rain. Him and his wife, they built a wooden image and they worshipped it. And he, Ahab, was responsible for leading the children of Israel astray. If you know anything about God, and I began to discover this even this week, if you know anything about God, this is something that he detests. He said there should be no other God beside me. He says all the gods of this world are idols. They have ears, but they cannot hear. They have mouths, but they cannot speak. He says, I am a jealous God. I've come to tell somebody today that to be careful what you worship. Because he's a jealous God, he will only go so far before he switches. And some of us, the fact is, we have gods in our lives. And you will say to me, Pastor Brian, no, that is not the case. If you come to my house, you will not see an altar there. If you come to my house, you will not go up into my bedroom and see images of different gods in my room. I went to somebody's house and I was shocked as I walked in. They showed me around the house, and upstairs in the bedroom, they have several gods. If you put anything before God, it becomes an idol. So the TV, even your job, your husband or your wife, whatever, could become an idol. But I hear God saying, according to his word, that he is a jealous God. And it is time for the church to put God in front of everything. Might sound a bit hard for some of us, but that is the reality. Jezebel, Ahab's wife, was as bad as him. She killed 150 of God's prophets. What a chaos Israel was experiencing at that time. And because of everything that was going on, we read that in 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 1 to 15, Elijah the prophet declares a curse upon the land. It says, now Elijah the Tishbite from Tishbe in Gilead said to Ahab, as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years except at my word. Do you know that God is still speaking today? I believe in this house, there are prophets in this house, people who are anointing and are hearing the word of God. God says through Elijah that there will be no rain for 3 years. Dew or rain. The first 9 months of my life, I lived in Jamaica. Many of you may know that. Some of you don't. Sometimes when I speak to, I remember when I was running my business and I was speaking to potential clients, and then I turn up and see them, and they look at me and say, "Oh," because a lot of people think that I'm an Englishman, but I'm Jamaican. And for the first 9 years of my life, I lived in Jamaica, and when we used to wake up in the morning, even though it hadn't rained, I used to go to the banana tree and there was water on the leaves. I don't know if anyone has ever experienced that. Sister Julia, yeah. Dew, yeah, that's right. So, yeah, and you could use that dew to do various things. Probably not cook, because there wasn't enough dew to do that. But you could use it for some things. Medicine. Somebody said medicine. It's a medicine. Oh, okay. I didn't know that one. So there's a business idea for some people here. Collect the dew, bottle it, and sell it in Jesus' name. Medicine for your body. And so Elijah says, there won't even be dew. No rain, no dew. So for 3 years, it was completely dry. Perhaps in our spiritual lives, some of us are in that position. But I've come to tell somebody today that in the position of drought, God is about to perform miracles. Take me there, Lord. During the period of drought, the Lord provided for Elijah with food brought to him by ravens. if you know anything about ravens, if you research about ravens, they are dirty birds. And they will not share their food with anyone. Much less Elijah. And yet God used them to run the first ever Uber Eats service. Supplying in the morning bread and meat. And in the evening bread and meat. And then Elijah. Oh, where is McDonald's? Elijah drank from the sparkling brook. Now, I'm not sure how healthy that diet is, but at least for a period he was fed. And then after, I'm just giving you the background now, so you know we're going to come to land at some point. And after the stream dried up, God said to him, I want you to go to a place called Zarephath. And when you reach Zarephath, you will see a widow there. And she will look after you. She will give you stuff. She will give you food. She will look after you. Elijah, go to Zarephath. It's interesting how God works. Because sometimes God will send you to someone who has a greater need than you have, and use them to bless you so that you can see his glory. I don't know if anyone has ever been in that position. I have nothing, but God has called me to give unto you. This is how God works, so that he can show his power. There is nothing impossible for my God. He can use anybody and use any situation to bring about a blessing to you this morning. So if you are ready, all you need to do is say, yes, God, with your hands wide open, I am ready to receive. Because I said to somebody today, you will receive. You see, this place called Zarephath means a crucible. It's a place of testing. Zarephath is. It's a severe trial or ordeal. And God says, I'm taking you out from this brook where you've been fed day and night, and I'm taking you in to another trial, another ordeal, a place or set of circumstances where people or things are subjected to forces that test them and often makes them change. That's what Zarephath means. And here, Elijah, he arrives at Zarephath and he sees the woman that God was telling him about. She's collecting some sticks. She's saying, oh, you know, she's saying to herself, the Bible says that, you know, she said to Elijah, he says, you know, I'm just going to collect some sticks. I'm going to make this last meal for me and my son, and then we're going to die. What a position to be in. And that's a desperate position. And then Elijah arrives, and in the middle of all of that, in the middle of the drought, I don't understand, you know, how God works sometimes, but he says to the woman, he says, give me a small loaf of bread and some water. And you would have thought that the position that they were in, the drought, the famine, you would have thought he would have had some kind of compassion, just said, just give me a slice. And if you have any water, well, you know, I'll be happy with that. But he says, make me first a small loaf of bread and bring me some water. You see, when you are in that position of drought, when you're in that position of emptiness, that is when God comes in and he shows his power. I don't know if anybody is there at the moment. And you're saying to yourself, all I have is this. And God is saying to you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, plant it. And God says, you shall reap. Get me a small loaf of bread and some water. And then this is what Elijah says, which I love. I love the word of God because it comes alive and the word of God is true. Elijah says, this is what God says. What has God said? What has God said to you? He says, this is what God says. He says, for this is what the Lord says, the God of Israel. The jar of flour that you have will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the land. I have come to prophesy to somebody. You're in this place and you're looking at your resources, but I hear the Spirit of God saying, your oil is not going to run out, and your jar a flower shall not run out or run dry. I hear the Spirit of God saying, so if you can rise in faith and say, that's me, Pastor. Well, God is speaking to you today. Your resources shall multiply. I don't know if there's anybody that believes in the anointing that brings multiplication. Yes. Give. And you shall be given. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. That's why God says, as you release what you have, even to others, God says, he shall bring an overflow in your life. And so if you thought that that was all, you know, Elijah had to face. So when God said to him, go to Zarephath, because this is a place of testing, severe testing. The next thing you know, that the woman that God sends him to, her son, her little boy, the one that she loved, that she brought into this world, passes away. He dies. I don't know if you can imagine that. If he was the only son, because the Bible just speaks of this son. Her prized possession passes away, and she says to Elijah, what have you brought on to me? What have you done to us? You know what Elijah did? Elijah laid on him. Three times. He prayed three times. And the boy came back to life. I come to tell somebody that if you have faith in God, small as a mustard seed, even those things that are dead in your experience and in your life, I hear the Spirit of God saying, if you have the faith, as small as a mustard seed, you can bring dead things back to life again. The doctors say that it's not impossible. I hear people saying that it cannot happen. It will not happen. But I tell the people of God, if you have faith in God, you can move mountains. This is the kind of faith that the church needs now. Three times. And you know what I love about Elijah? This is what I love about him. He is a man that never gives up. Pray the once, pray twice, and he does not stop there, but he goes back a third time. You know, the Bible speaks, there is a numerical order in the Bible, and the Bible speaks about this number three. Number three speaks of totality and sufficiency and completeness in the work of God, the complete work of God. He goes back three times. I don't know if there's anybody here who you'll give up after the first time, or even after the second. But I come to tell you that if you have the fervency and you can continue to pray, I'm going to promise you, according to the word of God, that one, God will hear you, and he will come through for you according to his will. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. The three represents divine fullness or completion in the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I don't know how Elijah prayed, but he had three prayer sessions, and the boy was brought back to life. When you pray with fervency. You pray with understanding. When Elijah prayed, the boy rose from the dead. Says to me that when you pray with persistency and understanding, even the dead are raised to life again. Jesus said in Matthew 21, 22, that if you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. Now, these are not my words. These are the words of God. And I want somebody to hear it again. If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. And then chapter 18, verses 1 to 40, Elijah battles with 450 prophets of Baal. He pours water on a sacrifice and the altar that he had built. And he did that, here it is again, three times. We know, I don't know if you know, but I know, that fire and water doesn't mix. Have you ever tried lighting a wet piece of wood? No. Okay. I've tried it. It doesn't work. And Elijah called the boys, and they poured water upon these sticks, and it was all wet. They had to build a trench around it. And here is God proving his power. The Bible says when he called upon the Almighty God, fire came down from heaven. I don't know if there's anybody that believes that this is just a story that happened many, many, many years ago and cannot happen today. I want to tell somebody that God is still in the business of sending down fire from heaven. When I was in Mauritius a couple of years ago, I spoke to some guys from an island who was very close to Mauritius, and they began to tell me the story that at night when they began to pray, they saw fire coming down from heaven. If there are some faith people in this place, I tell you today that you can call down fire from heaven. If there are some faith people, if you believe that God is able, he can do it. He did it then, he can do it now. He is an unchangeable God. You see, when God makes you a promise, you can pray with confidence. And it's interesting, this is really, really interesting that, you know, God makes us promises, and yet we have to pray them through. Now that's interesting, isn't it? You would have thought that you just sit back. God says to Elijah, you know, after 3 years, Elijah, the rain is going to come. The drought is going to be over. And yet, Elijah had to pray for it. Elijah knew that there was rain before the rain came. Because God told him that after 3 years, it's going to rain. Isn't that simple? What has God told you? What have you read about yourself in the Word of God, and you're still sitting in doubt? I hear the Spirit of God saying that it's time for His people to get on their knees in prayer and pray the promises of God through in your life. It will happen. It's a guarantee, because it is the Word of God, and His Word never, ever fails. Always, always come to pass. If He promises it to you, you will receive it. Elijah told, and this is where faith comes in. We need to be people of faith. Elijah told this Ahab. He says to him, Ahab, go and celebrate. He said that with confidence. Eat and drink and celebrate, because the drought is over. Begin, Ahab, to party. Begin to believe what God said, because that 3 years is right about now. So get ready, Ahab. Begin to party. Begin to celebrate, because it's about to come to pass. I don't know if there's anybody that can feel that right now. In their bowels, in their belly, you can feel it right now. God is speaking to somebody. It's been years. It's been days. But the Spirit of God says, get ready. Begin to celebrate. Begin to party. Begin to pray. Because the thing that you've been asking God for, He says, according to my will, because I've spoken it, it's about to come to pass right about now. We need some faith, people, in the house. And Elijah was a man of faith. He heard the rumbling of the thunder. And he saw the rain before it came. I'm in my pain, but I saw my healing before it came. That is faith. I'm in debt, but I saw the millions before it came. I'm out of a job, but my faith has arisen, because I see my office in the West End. I'm broke, but I saw the funds before they came. Elijah was a man of faith. He heard the rumbling of the thunder, and he saw the rain before he came. He saw the dark clouds and the lightning before they appeared. Are there any faith people in here? Do you see it? Do you see your miracle here today? Come on, come on. Do you see it? I need some faith people right about now. If you see it, if you can see it in the spirit, to give God a big shout. There's not many faith people in here, but I'm going to tell you, I spoke about passion last week, and I'm passionate now about the Word of God, because I've seen the Word of God come to pass. I haven't just read about it, but I've experienced it. Ahab, while you're partying, while you're getting down, I'm getting down on my knees in prayer. Interesting how God promised it, but he had to pray through. And something else that was interesting when I read the word It says that, I don't know if anyone has ever read this and tried it, but the Bible says that he held his head between his knees. Has anybody ever tried that? I tried it, but it didn't work. So, and I'm flexible. I know I am. I'm in the gym 3 times a week. So I know there are some muscles that have been stretched. But I tried that position because I'm thinking to myself, well, if Elijah did it, perhaps that's the way to do it. Perhaps that's the way that brings a solution. So after this meeting, if you want to try it, put your head between your knees and come back and tell me next week if you've done it. Elijah had not seen it in the natural, but he saw it in the spirit. He had faith in God. I want to tell you, that is the key to your breakthrough. Having faith in God. What I love about the New Testament, oftentimes when people were healed, Jesus did not go to them and say, "You are healed, my sister or my brother." But he says, "Because of your faith, be it unto you, be healed." He says, "What do you want?" He says, "Get up and walk." If you have faith, saints, I don't know how much I can tell you about this. If you can have faith as small as a mustard seed, the Bible says, you shall move mountains. You should say to this mountain, move from here and be deposited within the sea, and it will happen for you. You see, according to Romans, again, the word of God, Romans chapter 10, 17, it says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. God said it, so it must come to pass. He's declared his blessings over you as children of God, so they must come to pass. They must come to pass. Elijah hadn't seen the rain. He hadn't heard the rain or the thunder, but what he heard was the word of God. And he believed the word of God. And so he said to his servant, "Servant, can you imagine this? This is bright, bright, bright day. The sun is shining. And you're in a dry place, and he's wondering, I don't know when the rain is going to come, but God says, you know, after 3 years. He says, "Servant, I want you to go and just look over at the sea. Look over. Tell me what you see, and then come back." In the meantime, Elijah places his head between his knees again, and he began to pray. And the servant comes back. Elijah said to him, "Well, servant, tell me, what did you see?" He says, "Elijah, I didn't see anything." "Did you do it?" "Yes, I did, Elijah, but I went up and I looked out. I was there for a while and I didn't see it. I didn't see anything. Actually, the sun is shining brighter." And Elijah, this man of faith, says, "Go." Somebody said, "Go again." "Go again." And so he went again because he's a servant and he takes orders. He goes again. And he looks out over the sea to see something happening. I don't know if anyone has ever been in that position where God says to you that tomorrow it's going to happen and you cannot sleep. sleep all night because you're looking and you're waiting for it, and it doesn't come when you expect it to. And he comes back as Elijah had his head in his knees for the second time. And Elijah must have been thinking, by now, something must be happening. This isn't in the word, but I'm just dramatizing it. By now, I've been twice. And he says, Elijah, nothing. There's nothing there. I don't understand. I mean, your God says that it's going to rain after 3 years. Actually, he says there shall be an abundance of rain, but I cannot see anything, Elijah. And Elijah says, go again. And so the servant, because he's obedient, sets off again up Mount Carmel. And he looks over the sea to see something. And instead of it getting darker, it's getting brighter. Has anyone ever been there? And he comes back, sees Elijah on his... I think he might have been sitting down with his head in his knees. And he says, now... You must have seen something by now. It is the third time, and God knows about the number three. And he says, Elijah, there's nothing. I don't understand, Elijah. God said it, and I can't see. And then Elijah said to him, go again. Go. I come to tell somebody to go again. In prayer. And he goes again. I'm going to get very tired of this. He goes again the fourth time. And he looks over the sea, expecting by now to see something. And he sees nothing. And he goes back to Elijah. He says, Elijah, I've been there just as you have said, and I've looked out. I'm looking for the miracle. I'm looking for what God says, and I cannot see anything. And Elijah, head in his knees again. Is this the fifth time? Four. No, we've done the fourth, haven't we? Yeah. The fifth time. I'm not going to run up there again because I'm going to get really tired. And I know I go to the gym, but, you know, I haven't been this week. So he goes the fifth time. He comes back. There's nothing there. He goes. Elijah says, go the sixth time. He goes. And he says, right, Elijah, by now I know you are a crazy guy. I know, I'm not sure what you are hearing, but I'm wondering if you're hearing God at all. Has anybody ever said that to you? And Elijah, this man of faith, this man of God, places his head. I think there is something about that position. He places his head inside his knees. And he began to pray. Ha! And he says, my brother, my brother, my brother, go again. And this time, the servant, I'm guessing now, would have been very reluctant. Has anyone ever been there? Well, Lord, I prayed the first time, I prayed the second time, I prayed the third time, I prayed the fifth time. How many times, God, do you want me to pray? When is this thing going to come? I prayed then the sixth time. And then God says, yeah, 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 but you need to go again. You see, because God, in the numerical, God's numerical order, there is something about the number seven. You see, when God says to you for the seventh time, go again, I've come to tell somebody, if you can go another time, the seventh time, I guarantee you that God is going to break through for you. If you can go again, Lord, I've been six times, but God says, go again, go again. I'm just testing your faith according to my word. And he goes the seventh time, and he looks out, and he sees, the Bible says, a cloud, woo, as small as a man's hand in the distance. And he goes back to Elijah the same. I saw something small, but counts in the rain. I want to tell somebody that little is much when God is in it. And I hear the Spirit of God saying, if you have faith just as small as a mustard seed, God says, if you begin to plant, He will cause growth in your life. He will bring about a release and a breakthrough. If there are people with faith, whatever small bits you have in your hand, God says, give it to me and I can use it to perform miracles. What have you got? All Moses had in his hand was a staff. And God says, use it, Moses. Stretch it over that impossible situation. Stretch it over the Red Sea and begin to command in the name of Jesus. Red Sea, I command you. Open, 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 open. Hallelujah. The children of Israel knew about it. They knew about this faith. They knew about this number 7. And that's why they marched around the walls of Jericho 7 times. And the Bible says at the 7th time, they gave God a shout of praise and the miracle began to happen. I come to tell somebody that if you have faith in God, you shall move mountains. Naaman knew about it. Captain of the guards, he knew about it. He went and he dipped himself in the most filthiest river in the world, the River Jordan. He did not dip for 1 time, 2 times, but he dipped 7 times. And on the 7th time, the leprosy that he was carrying disappeared. I've come to tell somebody that miracles are about to happen. I can see that your faith right about now is rising. And you've been praying to God and you say, Lord, when is it going to happen? When is it going to come? And God says, go again, go again, go again. He needs people of faith. This is what pleases God. Faith pleases Him. You know, one of the things that I teach, especially on Wednesdays, that, you know, we don't just pray. Or we don't just declare and then go home. We need to exercise our faith. If you say that you have a pain in the arm and we declare your healing, you need to exercise it. This is how God works. Faith, according to James 2:25, faith without works is dead. When you pray, somebody look for the evidence. He said to his servant, look and tell me what you see. In the meantime, I'll be on the floor, head between my knees in prayer. Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Is there somebody here that is seeing? Is there somebody here that is seeing their breakthrough? If you're seeing it with your natural eyes, if you're looking at it with your natural eyes, it is not faith. But you need to look with the eyes of the Spirit. Because now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Servant went back and he says, I see nothing. Instead of Elijah being in despair and worried, he persevered in prayer. He continued to pray on the floor, head between his knees. He says to his servant, go again. The servant went back several times And he came back and he says, I see nothing. Praise God. I wonder if I can have the keyboard player. If you've been praying for an abundance of rain, an abundance of rain means that's going to come in really strong, really fast and heavy. If you've been praying for an abundance of rain, I'm going to ask you to go again. Look again. Look again. Look and pray. Pray and work. Who dares despise the day of small things? It may start small, but it's going to grow. There are some people here with business ideas. You've been mulling over it for years. You've been saying to yourself, I don't know where the money is going to come from, but God has placed that desire in your heart. God says that if you only have the faith, start small. God says it's going to grow. Some of you are sick in your body. God says if you have faith, small as a mustard seed, all you need to do is just go to him in believing. You can be healed. Because he says that by my stripes, it is already done. It's already done. Somebody say it's already done. It's already done. He says, by my stripes, you are healed. I want to tell somebody that the miracle has already happened. But God says, if you can open your spiritual eyes, he says, you shall see it. Hallelujah. Please stand to your feet. I sense the presence of God. I sense, as I said to you before at the very beginning, I sense faith in this room. Miracles are about to happen in this place. Because faith people are in this house. Your body is about to be healed. There are miracles, I declare, that are about to happen. Yes, God. Not all sugar. Jesus. I want you to take a step of faith. If you believe you are the person that God has been speaking to, let all fear be gone and believe God. And I want you to come and take that step of faith. You're not coming to me, but you're stepping out to God and you're saying, Lord, I believe your word. I cannot see it yet, God. I know I've been 5, 6, 7 times. I cannot see it, God. I cannot see it. But today I'm having faith in you. And I'm stepping out, Lord. And I believe in you. If that is you, I just come. Just come. Just come. I know that God has been speaking to the church.
Please sing that for a moment. Is for you to be.
ask you to just come in. The Spirit of, just come in close as you can. The Spirit of God is moved. Come close as you can, right here. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I want everybody else. Look, this is body ministry. This is body ministry. Body ministry. I want everybody else, every other believer who's standing in the chairs, to help me declare over these people. Miracle saints are about to happen right now. Right? If you're not right here, can I say, get here now? Because your step of faith is about to bring your breakthrough. It's about, I'm saying it again, to bring your breakthrough. I want every sick person to come by faith. I want every person who's believing God for a miracle to come. God says, come, go again, go again, go again, go again, go again. The seventh time, God says, go. And you will see his power at work. Hallelujah. That's more or less all the church. So we're going to believe God together. I tell you, saints, something happens. Something unusual happens when the church begins to pray and believe God. And believe God. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. I want everybody else in the seats to just stretch your hands towards these people. Stretch your hands towards them. Right now. Oh, yeah. Right now. I sense the fire of God is about to break through in your experience.
As you've waited
on your knees in prayer.